Welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today we're going deep on a book by Kent Hodge. It's called What Does Paul Mean by Faith?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I know, when you hear that title, you might be thinking, oh boy, here comes some dry theology. But trust me, this is anything but.
Yeah.
We're out to discover how Paul's letters actually had an impact on things like society and community.
Right.
And even economics in the early church.
Definitely. And, you know, Hodge, he takes us beyond just that typical faith is just believing stuff, you know,
kind of.
And he digs into this idea of what he calls relational justice.
Relational justice.
Mm.
Okay, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. What does he mean by that?
So Hodge argues that when Paul uses the word faith, you know, pistis in the Greek, it wasn't just about believing something. It was about living that out in the community.
Oh, okay.
Like in your actions and relationships.
Right.
And he actually talks about this term, pistis Christo.
Yeah.
Which you could translate as the faithfulness of Christ or even the faith that Christ has.
Wow.
So it's not just believing in Jesus. It's about embodying his faithfulness in the way we interact with others.
So it's less about what you think and more about how you live.
Yeah, exactly. And Hodge, he points to Galatians as like a really good example of this.
Okay.
Paul, he was totally against using like religious customs as barriers between Jewish and Gentile believers coming together.
Yeah, like the whole circumcision debate.
Right.
It's not that Paul thought traditions were bad. He just didn't want them to divide the church.
Exactly.
Which, you know, goes against the whole point of the gospel.
Hmm. Yeah. And to kind of show this, Hodge uses some interesting Old Testament examples.
Okay.
He compares, you know, that vengeful eye for an eye thing from Genesis with how Jesus radically calls us to forgive in Matthew, you know, 70 times seven.
Right. 70 times seven times.
Right.
Incredible.
Hodge argues that Paul saw this radical forgiveness as like the foundation for building a community based on relational justice.
Wow. That's a big difference.
Right.
It really highlights how radical that message of forgiveness was from Jesus.
Mm.
But how does this connect back to Paul and the early church?
Well, Hodge, he connects this idea of forgiveness to the Jubilee and the Torah.
Oh, yeah.
You know that whole thing with canceling debts?
Right.
Redistributing land?
Yeah.
And freeing slaves?
Yeah. Jubilee was like hitting the reset button on the economy.
Right. Exactly. It was all about restoring that balance, making sure that everybody had a fair chance.
Right.
And Hodge argues that Paul, he looked to this Jubilee concept as a model for how the early church should live out their faith. You know, he wanted to see a community where everybody showed grace and generosity.
Right.
And worked to break down the walls between people.
That's incredible. It really challenges us to think about how we're living out our faith today.
Mm-hmm.
Are we building walls or are we building bridges?
Right.
Are we more focused on keeping things the same or are we embracing that radical spirit of Jubilee?
Yeah, that's a great question. And speaking of challenging the status quo.
Okay.
Hodge also digs into how Paul criticized the economic systems of his time.
Ooh. Okay, this is where things get interesting.
Yeah.
How did Paul challenge the economic realities back then?
Well, Hodge points out that Paul lived in a Roman world where there was a massive gap between the rich and the poor.
Right.
And he brings up people like Zacchaeus, who got rich off exploiting the poor.
So Paul was basically calling out the injustice and inequality that was so common in Roman society.
Yeah, absolutely. And Hodge argues that this wasn't just some theory for Paul.
Okay.
He actually worked to create a community where people shared what they had.
Okay.
Where the poor were taken care of.
Right.
And where economic exploitation was challenged.
That's incredibly relevant to the conversations we're having today about economic inequality and social justice.
Yeah, totally. And Hodge, he uses the parable of the minas as a key example of this.
Okay.
He argues that it's not about endorsing capitalism.
Okay.
It's about critiquing those who abuse and exploit the poor for their own gain.
I've always heard that parable is a story about using your resources well and growing your wealth.
Yeah, that's a common interpretation.
Okay.
But Hodge, he looks at it differently.
Okay.
He focuses on the context, you know.
Okay.
It takes place in a Roman province where economic exploitation was just rampant.
Right.
He says the parable is actually criticizing those who use their wealth and power to oppress the poor.
Right.
Instead of using it to help them.
That is a fascinating take on that parable.
Correct.
It really challenges how we typically think about wealth and our responsibility to the poor.
Right.
I'm starting to see how Hodge's concept of relational justice really gets to the heart of Paul's teachings.
Yeah, it's a powerful framework for understanding what Paul was all about. And Hodge, he takes it a step further by comparing King Saul and King David.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What's the connection there?
So he uses them to show us what real leadership looks like.
Okay.
You got Saul, who's always looking for approval and glory.
Right.
And then you got David, whose leadership was all about humility and serving others.
Right.
Hodge argues that Paul wanted to see that same kind of leadership in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that servant leadership where you put the community's well-being above your own ambitions.
That's a really powerful point.
Yeah.
It really applies to how we think about leadership today.
Yeah.
Are we leading like Saul?
Mm-hmm.
Just looking for our own glory?
Right.
Or are we like David?
Yeah.
Putting others first and wanting to serve rather than be served.
Hmm. It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it really shows how Paul's vision for the church was about so much more than just individual salvation.
Right.
It was about creating a community that reflected God's character. A community of love, justice, and a radical commitment to the well-being of everyone.
Exactly. You know, as I was reading Hodge's book, one of the things that really jumped out at me was how Paul's concept of relational justice actually played out in real life.
Okay.
It wasn't just this, like, lofty ideal.
Yeah.
It actually had practical implications for the early church.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of real-world impact did this idea have?
So Hodge, he points out that the early church was super diverse.
Right.
You had Jewish believers, Gentile converts, people from all different social classes and backgrounds, all coming together because of Christ.
Right.
And this could have easily led to, you know, division and conflict.
Yeah, of course.
But Paul, he saw this as a chance to show the unifying power of the gospel.
So how did he navigate all that potential conflict and create a sense of unity with all those different people?
Well, Hodge shows how Paul constantly emphasized breaking down barriers between people. He challenged the early Christians to put aside their cultural and religious differences and just embrace each other as brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's so powerful. It reminds us that the gospel is about more than just me and my salvation.
Mm.
It's about creating a community where everyone is welcomed and valued and treated with dignity, no matter their background or beliefs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And Hodge, he gives some specific examples of how this happened in the early church.
Okay, like what?
Like, he talks about how the wealthier members were encouraged to share what they had with those in need.
Okay.
And how the church actively cared for widows, orphans, and other marginalized folks in society.
It's amazing to see how those early Christians put their faith into action in such tangible ways.
Yeah.
It really challenges us to think about how we're using our own resources and how we're caring for the needy in our communities.
Yeah, for sure. And Hodge, he reminds us that this commitment to relational justice wasn't just about charity or social work.
Right.
It was about living at the very heart of God. You know, a God of justice, mercy, and compassion.
Speaking of a heart of God.
Yeah.
Hodge also goes into some deeper theological ideas in Paul's teachings, right?
He does.
Okay.
One of the most interesting ones he looks at is how Paul understood that other gospel that he mentions in Galatians.
Okay.
Traditionally, this has been seen as some heretical teaching that was going around at the time.
Right, like some false doctrine that was trying to undermine the true gospel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
But Hodge, he offers a different take.
Okay.
He argues that the other gospel wasn't about different beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about a different spirit.
Okay.
A spirit of division and exclusion that was creeping into the church.
So it was more about people's attitudes and behavior than about specific doctrines.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Hodge argues that Paul was concerned about people using the gospel to build up their own power and prestige.
Okay.
Creating factions and excluding those who didn't see things their way.
That's really insightful. It makes you think about our own hearts, you know? Are we using the gospel to build bridges or build walls?
Mm-hmm.
Are we creating a community where everyone feels welcome and valued?
Oh, yeah.
Or are we promoting exclusivity and judgment?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
And Hodge reminds us that the real gospel, it's always about unity and reconciliation and breaking down those barriers between people.
Right.
It's about embodying that radical love and grace of Christ that extends to everyone,
right,
no matter their background, beliefs, or behavior.
I love that. It's such a powerful reminder that the gospel is meant to be a force for good. something that transforms hearts, heals relationships, and brings about true reconciliation. But, you know, one thing that always gets me about Paul is his take on faith and works.
Yeah.
It's something that's been debated forever.
Right.
And it's still relevant today, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Hodge does a really good job of breaking down Paul's perspective on this.
Okay.
He points out that Paul was very clear that we're saved by grace through faith, not by our own efforts or good works.
Right. We can't earn our salvation. It's a free gift from God.
Exactly. But Hodge also makes it clear that true faith will naturally produce good works.
Okay.
It will lead to a life of love service and obedience to God.
So it's not about doing good things to win God's favor. But it's about letting our faith transform us from the inside out.
Right.
And then that motivates us to live in a way that reflects God's character and his heart for justice.
Exactly. And Hodge reminds us that good works aren't about following rules or trying to impress God.
Okay.
It's about showing our love for him.
Right.
Responding to his grace with gratitude and obedience.
Right.
And letting our faith influence our attitudes, our actions, and how we engage with the Lord.
You know, that really hits home for me. It's about letting our faith become a lived reality, not just something we believe in our heads.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And Hodge challenges us to look at how our own faith is showing up in our lives. Are we living in a way that shows the grace we've received? Are our actions matching our beliefs?
Right.
Are we making a real difference in the world around us?
Those are tough questions.
They are.
But they're important for anyone who right. wants to live a genuinely Christian life.
Yeah, and speaking of authenticity, Hodge also delves into Paul's understanding of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That can be a bit mysterious and intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
But Hodge does a good job of explaining it and making it relatable to our everyday lives.
He does. It's fascinating how Hodge highlights that Paul didn't see the Holy Spirit as just this mystical force.
Okay.
But as a personal presence.
Right.
You know, like God's Spirit actually dwelling within believers,
okay,
empowering them, guiding them,
yeah,
and enabling them to live in a way that pleases God.
So it's not about trying harder in our own strength,
right,
but about tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Hodge reminds us that we're not alone on this journey of faith.
Right.
We have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, strengthening us, comforting us, and giving us the wisdom and courage to face life's challenges.
And that is a truly comforting and empowering truth.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we don't have to rely on our own strength or wisdom.
Right.
But we can draw on the infinite resources of God's Spirit.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Hodge emphasizes that this power isn't just for our own benefit.
Right.
Or just for our spiritual growth.
Okay.
It's about being empowered to live out our faith in the real world.
Right.
To be agents of change in our communities and beyond.
Okay. That makes sense. So how does the Holy Spirit actually empower us to live out our faith and make a difference?
Well, Hodge points to a few ways that the Holy Spirit works in us and through us.
Okay.
He says the Spirit gives us courage to stand up for what's right, even when it's not popular.
Okay.
He says it empowers us to love others unconditionally.
Right.
Even those who are tough to love.
Yeah.
And he says it gives us the wisdom to know God's will.
Right.
And make choices that align with his plans.
That's inspiring. It helps me think, am I open to the Holy Spirit's guidance? Am I willing to step out of my comfort zone and be used by God in ways that might stretch me?
Those are great questions. And I think that's the core of what Hodge is getting at.
Yeah.
Christian life isn't about being passive or complacent.
Right.
It's about adventure, taking risks, stepping into the unknown.
Okay.
And trusting that God will use us to accomplish his goals.
You know, one thing that really sticks with me from Hodge's book is how Paul's vision for the church was about so much more than individual salvation. It was about creating a community that reflected God's character.
Right, a community of love, justice, and a deep commitment to the well-being of everyone.
Exactly. And Hodge emphasizes that this vision isn't some impossible dream.
Right.
It's something we can start living out right now.
Yeah.
In our own churches and communities.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
But where do we even start? How do we turn this big vision into action?
Yeah, it's a good question. What does it actually look like to create a community that lives out relational justice?
So Hodge suggests starting with simple things like being radically hospitable,
okay,
welcoming newcomers, and making sure that everyone feels like they belong.
Okay.
It's about making a safe place where people can be themselves, ask questions,
yeah,
wrestle with their doubts,
yeah,
and find support and encouragement.
That's crucial. It's about creating an environment where people feel loved and accepted, not judged or condemned.
Right. And Hodge points out that this kind of community isn't just about meeting people's emotional or spiritual needs.
Yeah.
It's about meeting their practical needs, too.
Right. Like helping those who are struggling financially or providing support for single parents or families going through tough times.
Exactly. And Hodge reminds us that this isn't just about charity or social work.
Yeah.
It's about reflecting God's character.
Right.
You know, being his hands and feet, bringing his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven.
That's a beautiful and inspiring vision. But I gotta admit, it can feel a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin to address things like poverty, injustice, and systemic oppression?
It can be daunting, for sure. But Hodge, he encourages us to start small.
Okay.
To focus on what we can do in our own little corner of the world.
Yeah.
Whether that's our families, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, or our churches.
So it's not about waiting for someone else to fix everything, but taking responsibility for the things we can control.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Hodge reminds us that even small acts of kindness, generosity, and compassion can make a difference.
Mm.
He encourages us to find our own unique ways to express our faith, to discover our passions and gifts, and use them to serve others and make the world a better place.
It's encouraging. It reminds us that we don't have to be superheroes or have all the answers to make a difference.
Yeah.
We can start right where we are with what we have and trust that God will use us.
Right. And Hodge also reminds us that we don't have to do this alone. We have the support of a whole community of believers.
Right.
Who are all on this mission together.
Right. It's not about individual heroism, but about working together, pooling our resources, and supporting each other as we try to live out that Jubilee spirit. And, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm reminded of Paul's words in Galatians. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people.
That's a great verse to remember. It's a good reminder that our efforts aren't pointless, that God is working through us, and that together we can really make a difference.
You know, as we're wrapping up part two of our deep dive, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the overall message of Hodge's book. What's the one key takeaway you want listeners to walk away with?
Well, one thing that's really interesting is that Hodge reminds us that Paul's message isn't just for theologians or scholars or pastors.
Right.
It's for everyone, for every believer, for anyone who's ever felt that pull of God's love and the call to make a difference.
I love that. It's about recognizing that we all have a part to play in God's plan for redemption and renewal, no matter our background, education, or position in life.
Exactly. Yeah. And Hodge, he encourages us to read Paul's letters for ourselves, to really wrestle with their meaning and let them speak to us in fresh and life-changing ways.
Right.
He reminds us that Paul's message isn't about following a bunch of rules.
Yeah, right.
It's about experiencing the power of God's love and grace.
Okay.
And letting that shape how we live.
It's amazing how relevant Paul's teachings still are today.
Yeah. It really is. And Hodge, he stresses that it's not just about understanding it intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
It's about letting Paul's message really challenge us, even convict us.
All right.
And inspire us to change the way we live.
So it's not enough to just admire Paul's ideas from a distance.
Right.
We have to let them sink in and actually change how we live.
Exactly. Yeah. And Hodge reminds us that this kind of change doesn't happen overnight. It's a process, a journey, you know?
Right.
A lifelong pursuit of becoming more like Christ.
And that journey happens within the context of community, right?
Yeah.
Hodge talks a lot about how Paul emphasized the importance of the church as the body of Christ.
He does. It's really interesting how Hodge explores how Paul used that body metaphor to show how believers are all interconnected.
Yeah.
Just like a physical body has all these different parts working together.
Yeah.
The church is made up of people with different gifts, talents, and perspectives,
right?
But we're all united in Christ and meant to function as one.
I love that imagery.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we need each other, that we're stronger together, and that we can't fully live out our faith on our own.
Yeah, for sure. And Hodge, he points out that this whole unity and diversity thing, it's not always easy.
Yeah.
We're going to have disagreements, conflicts, different opinions.
Of course.
But he reminds us that the gospel calls us to this radical unity, a unity that goes beyond our differences and binds us together in love.
Right. It's about realizing that what we share in Christ is more important than anything that might divide us.
Yeah.
But how do we actually live that out? It's easy to talk about unity and love, but how do we actually do it, especially in a world that's so divided?
It's a good question. And Hodge suggests starting with humility.
Right.
Are we willing to listen to those who see things differently?
Yeah.
Are we willing to try to understand instead of just trying to win arguments?
Right.
Are we willing to forgive those who've hurt us?
Those are some tough questions. It really makes you look at your own heart.
Yeah.
And see if you're really living out the gospel in your relationships.
It does. And Hodge reminds us that it's not just about being nice or avoiding conflict.
Right.
Like, it's about actively pursuing reconciliation.
Oh.
Being peacemakers, building bridges instead of walls.
And it's about recognizing that true unity doesn't mean everyone has to be the same.
Right.
We can celebrate our differences, appreciate what each person brings to the table, and still be united in our love for Christ and his mission.
Exactly. And that's the amazing thing about the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's diverse, messy, sometimes chaotic.
Right.
But when it's working right, it's a powerful force for good.
Speaking of being a force for good, Hodge really emphasizes mission in Paul's letters.
Yeah, he does. It's fascinating how Hodge explores how Paul saw mission as a core part of the Christian life.
Mm.
He didn't think it was just for missionaries or pastors.
Right.
He believed every believer was called to be an ambassador for Christ.
Okay.
To share the good news.
Right.
And to work towards changing society.
So it's not just about going to church on Sundays and being a good person.
Right.
It's about actively engaging with the world and being agents of change.
Exactly. And Hodge points out how Paul saw the gospel as having both personal and societal implications.
Right.
It's about personal transformation, sure, but it's also about bringing God's kingdom here on earth.
It's about living out that Jubilee spirit we talked about.
Yeah.
Working for justice, fighting for the oppressed, caring for the poor, promoting reconciliation and peace in a world full of conflict.
That's a great way to put it. And Hodge challenges us to think about how we're living out this missional calling in our own lives.
Yeah.
Are we just sitting back and watching the world go by?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we actively trying to make it a better place?
You know, as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah,
I have to say, Hodge's book has really made me rethink how I understand Paul and his teachings.
Mm.
I feel like I have a much deeper appreciation now for how radical the gospel is,
yeah,
and the impact it has on how we live and interact with the world.
I feel the same way. Hodge's insights have been really thought-provoking and inspiring.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners have been challenged and encouraged, too.
I hope so, too. And if you're interested in what you've heard today, we highly recommend checking out Ken Hodge's book, What Does Paul Mean by Faith? It's challenging.
Yeah.
But it's a really rewarding read. That will deepen your understanding of the gospel and inspire you to live out your faith in bold new ways.
And as you read, we encourage you to keep asking those tough questions we've been wrestling with today.
Yeah.
How can I live out that Jubilee spirit?
Right.
How can I be a force for good?
Right.
What difference can I make?
Because at the end of the day, that's what this deep dive has been all about.
Yeah.
Inspiring you to take the next step in your faith journey.
Mm.
To embrace the radical message of the gospel.
Yeah.
And to join the movement of God's people who are working to bring about his kingdom here on earth.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've been challenged, encouraged, and inspired.
And until next time, keep diving deep.